You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Derek and Zach. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Listen, it's what happens when you've had success. People want to kind of see what's behind the curtain a little bit. The important thing for us is that we can, while we're here, build that connection and build that trust that is so important to building the chemistry that we need. You know, we have nothing to hide. We are who we are. I think the cool part about this is people see us on Sunday, they see us on game day. Now they get a chance to see that what we do on Sunday is exactly what we do Monday through Saturday. And I think that's the cool piece about it. The increased noise, if you will, is maybe in some ways good practice for us to really hone in and focus and get our focus where it needs to be.
Buffalo Bills head coach Sean McDermott earlier this morning talking about Hard Knocks. Yesterday was 2 weeks away from the premiere, Tuesday, August 5th, over on HBO. We've already seen the cameras, a lot of people taking pictures of, there they are. There's HBO.
Love this.
I'm excited. Partially, I'm excited too because, you know, Derek, you bring it up, like having to cover preseason games sitting here on like a Sunday. We're going to have
you
that
think these
stuff.
Games are on a Sunday?
No, but yeah. But you're gonna have that stuff to talk about. I am excited for that. I've mentioned it too. I like that the Bills brand is getting out there. I have always had constant fears that when Allen is done, is the Bills brand going to disappear? Are they going to go back to, quote-unquote, where they belong? I don't want that. I want them, as the NFL is expanding internationally and really taking off, I want the Bills to be one of those brands. And I think they have a chance to be. And doing stuff like Hard Knocks is certainly going to help.
By the way, this is what I get for saying words. There is a Sunday preseason game.
There is a Sunday preseason game, though. They have three of them. One of them is – they only have one home one, though.
It's a pretty quick hit. It's Saturday the 9th, Sunday, August 17th, Saturday, August 23rd.
Yeah, so there's Saturday games. That's because college isn't playing yet. That's exactly what that is.
That is exactly what it is.
It's exactly what that is.
You college know that's is not what it is. Yet.
Because if you gave me college week one, you gave me college week zero, Iowa State versus Kansas State, or a random preseason game, I'm setting that preseason game on fire.
Random third preseason game, mind you.
Yeah, I'm setting it on fire. Literally, I can't actually do that. It's a huge stadium. I can't actually do that.
But yeah,
like,
no.
Figuratively, in my mind.
You're definitely setting the idea of watching it on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize. I cut off what you were saying because I got sidetracked because that's what I do.
It's just I'm excited for Hard Knocks. I like that the brand is going to get out there and they're not going to hopefully not go back into the darkness when eventually Allen does hang it up.
I don't think that. Well, I mean, there's only one way to make sure you don't do that, and it's
to stay good, of course.
When you have to enter that new era, don't draft the wrong heir apparent. That's how you do it. That's why the Packers have stayed relevant for so long. They've had their few down years during that stretch, but the Packers are the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really say that about the Steelers.
I was going to say the Steelers are still relevant.
They're relevant because of their history.
Yep.
The Cowboys are relevant because they grab at the headlines all the time. And
somewhat their history.
And kind of their history. Jerry Jones likes to make us remember everything before 1995 anyway.
Well, he made a gamble, Derek. Never forget. He made a gamble. Never forget that. Their documentary is called The Gambler in America's
Team. Think it was
he's never going to let go of that.
You would think it was 14 days ago.
Oh, man. He just never is going to let anyone forget that.
Is that radio's Nate Geary walking by me?
Oh, my goodness. Everyone is here today.
It's a real who's who of everyone walking in the studio right now, probably to grab their passes.
So they can go to camp.
So that they can go to camp.
We're not. 803-0550, the number to call. Did also get some injury news as well. Dawson Knox, Spencer Brown, Cedric Van Pran Granger, and LaVisca Chenault not practicing today. Knox, it is a hamstring injury. Spencer Brown back. Van Pran Granger, a calf. And then Chenault, it is a lower leg strain. On that, and on a lot of the storylines developing as day one gets underway, what are the storylines you're most looking forward to following? A name I did not mention there, not practicing, of course, James Cook. He is fully at camp, practicing on the field. We were talking with Sal Capaccio about an hour ago, and
right.
He even said, I actually haven't seen him yet. Give me 1 second. I got to make sure he's actually doing drills. And he was. You know,
but the man had
really
a guardian cap
there.
On. It's like, he's ready to rumble.
Yeah,
let's go.
He's going. We'll get some tweets here. Steve tweets in, I will be watching the number of soft tissue injuries. We brought up Dawson Knox there with a hamstring. Soft tissue injuries tend to plague teams during training camp. It's absolutely important the Bills keep that number down this year because we will already be missing players early in the year due to suspension, Hoyt and Ogunjobi. That is absolutely right. I know Bean and McDermott, I think, have brought that up, that young players are going to have to start playing bigger roles with the team. That also includes right off the rip. And that was why it was also imperative, like, getting T.J. Sanders in, just because that defensive line, the depth there, they all don't play the same position, but that defensive line depth was going to get contested regardless, because you know for the first six games, two of those guys are not there.
And there's going to be a couple stories all throughout, because, like, Sal Capaccio has the piece on the website, WGR550.com, about a question at each position on defense. And I think there are even more questions that could be asked throughout each position.
Oh, yeah.
Sal doing a quick hitter of one question per position. I did like the versatility there. But, like, linebacker, he mentions how can Matt Milano get back to pre-injury form. And asking him about Dorian Williams and the comfort level they have with him now, how much better do you feel about the linebacker depth this time around? Shaq Thompson hopefully is not what Deion Jones was last year, mm-hmm. which was, oh, that's an interesting signing. What do you mean he's third team on the last preseason game?
Yeah, yeah.
Or why is he playing the entire third preseason game? Well, he's probably gone.
Mm-hmm.
I would like that to not be the case with Shaq Thompson. But Thompson sounds like, on paper, a very interesting depth piece. There might be a battle between Spector and Andreessen for linebacker two in the middle.
I'd be really fun if Andreessen could grab spot number two. I think,
because that also means you earned it.
And he earned it, and he could be somebody I think nationally people could really start to know. I would be awestruck if I agree with Jenna Cottrell. I think that was right. Trey White really might be one of the main stories.
Trey White is going to have.
I think Andreessen, like, could be one of those guys too.
Hard Knocks is definitely writing down, like, we need to talk to this guy.
Yeah,
we need to talk to this kid. See his story.
Local kid. Went to the local university. Undrafted. He's, you know, he was a folk hero for Bills fans last year. He's back here and might even have, like, a spot on the main game day roster.
It was a big deal when he finally got a game day jersey.
Yep.
And he wasn't a scratch. So, yeah, there's a lot to this of the storylines, not just for us, but for Hard Knocks.
Mm-hmm.
The superficial types. They'll probably find a general interest story about Rochester itself and why do they go to camp. Why do they go away to camp every year?
I can't wait
when
for the
less and less teams
episode.
Do it.
Yeah, they're one of the few.
And
Turkey Burger episode's going to be awesome, though.
The garbage plate?
Garbage plate, yep.
Probably Genesee Brewing Company?
There's a few.
Yeah.
There's a few stories.
There's a couple ways they can go about this.
Oak Hill's probably going to get a shout, right?
Probably.
PGA Championship from a few years ago. That was great.
HBO, pay us money. We'll give you the storylines.
They've got to have some people, like, locally on the payroll too, right? That they're like, hey, just, like, feed us, like, information about the area. Like,
they probably have, like, a consulting thing going on with locals there.
They've got to. They've been at this long enough. They know how it goes.
Nate's flashing his credentials in front of us. The nerve of that man.
Joke's on him. He had to be here at 11 in the morning. He's not even working. Joke's on him.
Big news. The Hard Knocks people have updated the sign.
Yes, it had the Chicago Bears on it this morning. It was like, guys.
I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yeah, they taped it over with Buffalo Bills.
Yes, I love that.
Not even a new sign, just tape. Like literally a label maker.
I love my low-cost fix-ups, baby.
Well, I mean, let's not judge too much, guys. They've had a lot going on at HBO. They've changed the name the 15th time in 2 years. So they've got other worries.
To be fair, they changed it back and forth from the same name.
I know.
It's five times.
So they've had a lot of stress. And, you know, there's probably at least half the people in the building going, we're going back to Chicago, right? And they're like, no. We're going to Buffalo, guys. And they're like, what?
No.
We are? Okay.
It's guys, grab the Hard Knock sign. Okay. Wait, what do you mean this morning the Bears are still on it? Did anyone change the sign? No, we changed our name. We changed our name, not the team name.
Blame Jim the intern. That was his one job.
Don't blame the intern.
That's tough, man.
That's a lot of heat, man. But somebody goofed.
Somebody goofed, and usually the intern gets the blame. So
yeah.
Who am I to break trends? 803-0550, the number to call. Your storyline, you're following for camp. Again, James Cook, kind of not a story anymore as he is full go. Joshua tweets in, simple, Ken Coleman get open on being more explosive off the line and in his routes, and who's starting at cornerback two and safeties. We talked a lot about Coleman already, not necessarily in this vein, though, about being more explosive off the line. Derek, you kind of mentioned it. Don't really know if that's kind of in his game to be more of a separation artist and stuff like that. It might be more just he's physically more imposing, kind of jump balls, attacking the middle of the field, that kind of stuff.
Explosiveness off the line, though, and creating some sort of separation can be aided through technique. That is something. Like, athletic profiles, I think he is who he is. He's a big body guy. He's not going to be as fast, and he's going to want to fight for his targets. Whether he is open or not, it is going to be attacking the football.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the hands, the height, the explosive ability to jump up and get it. However, getting off the line, that's also technique.
Yeah.
He can use size in his favor. He can be better technique-wise hand fighting off the line on press. There are ways, for Joshua's point here on that tweet, for that to become a reality. I don't want to dismiss it because technique is an important thing for wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that Coleman, ultimately, I'm going to assume at this point he is what he is, but can find ways to fine-tune his game. And technique is one of those ways to do it. Cornerback two, the safeties. Yeah, again, Bishop is, I don't want to call it a make or break year, but it kind of feels like it for him.
Yeah, we're off to a good start, though. It does sound like Bishop just full go, day one of camp. He is going to be one of those starting safeties. That was something I brought up a lot in the offseason was, if that's not the case going into camp, I was going to start the warning signs and like, okay, who are the safeties for the 2025 draft class? Here we go.
Exactly.
That was going to start where that doesn't seem to be the case. It seems like he's going right away. That is a good sign. After that, though, it gets interesting. A name I know the Morning Guys brought up that we haven't brought up a ton, but he was sort of a sneaky, fun free agent signing. Derek Forrest. Very good athletic
Derek
profile.
Forrest.
Just
also,
didn't seem to fit in Washington anymore.
Also, I think that you could sell easier, though, to fans. DeMar Hamlin's a backup for this safety group. And you go, okay, he started an entire seasons. He's at least, I would say he's a replacement-level player, but the thing about replacement-level players is if you have to make the occasional start, I'd rather it be someone of that grade than below replacement level or bad. If he has to play a couple of games, the best part is he can play either spot for a game or two, or he plays the box – the quote-unquote box, and then Bishop kicks over to Rapp's side if Rapp is out. And, I mean, Taylor Rapp does have a tendency to get himself on the injury list with some aggressive hits.
Just a bit.
So that is something that we're going to have to look at. Is Derek Forrest going to fight off DeMar Hamlin to be the next guy tapped?
Mm-hmm.
Or does Hamlin, with his knowledge of the playbook, have a chance to be the next guy up?
Another young guy, I believe. I think Derek Forrest is, 25.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of young guys they added.
And that's the thing, is that there is a lot of youth to them. There is a lot of mystery to them. Cornerback, too. Dealing with the youth, you are now also dealing with Tre'Davious White is your starter.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if Trey White's your starter, what is Harrison? What is his role right away?
Mm-hmm.
Is he able to play on special teams and kind of it, then is Jamarcus Ingram's position on this team suddenly in question?
Daquan Hardy as well.
Daquan Hardy.
It's a deep cornerback room potentially.
It's a deep corner. The Bills are probably going to lose a guy. They're going to lose someone that would be valuable to their roster. Are you able to stash him on the practice squad?
Sounds like a Rashad Wild Goose problem from a few years ago, if you remember that name.
How could you forget that?
How could you forget Rashad Wild Goose?
I mean, that's an all-time name type player. But I think, though, the quality of player that gets released is probably a tad better than a Rashad Wild Goose. That's just my working theory.
Potentially.
Because I'm high on Dorian Strong.
Probably.
I would love to see what his camp is, how he gets through it.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun looking at these position battles, especially on the defensive side of the football. Deployments on the wide receivers is going to be important. But other than that, the offense is set. I don't have to look at the other side of the football and really have many questions other than, what, one position?
Puts you in a good spot.
Puts you in a real good spot. I mean, the tight end thing might get interesting with Knox out.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, to see how long Knox is out and also just kind of what's Kincaid look like this year. Although, to be fair, we've kind of hit that point with Kincaid as well. It doesn't really matter what he looks like in camp or the preseason. It all matters about the regular season. He's been here long enough.
Yes.
You know, for him, it is, okay, are we looking more towards what your rookie year was? Where it wasn't too flashy, but you broke a lot of Bills' rookie tight end records. You broke a lot of Bills' tight end records. Yeah, and it looked like you were an ascending player.
Historically, the position is not good for Buffalo.
And it looked like he was an ascending player. And, of course, we know development is not linear. You know, year two, but he also had some bumps and bruises. He picked up a lot of injuries. But, you know, what year is more like Kincaid, year one or year two? And then real quick on the wide receiver, I do want to bring this up because I agree with an Aaron Quinn post here from Cover One. Paul, and this is his opinions. Palmer's going to be a huge part of this offense between how I view he more and potentially healthy. Samuel feels like Keon Coleman needs to really earn his reps and targets this year, in my opinion. I do think that is very true. And that's where with Keon, we brought up the idea of like him taking that step forward and earning them.
Yes.
But if he doesn't, I do think this is a good enough wide receiver room that he could get lost in the shuffle. Even as a second-round pick last year, really effectively their first-round pick, he could get lost in the shuffle, I think, very quickly.
And we talked about this with Bishop of like, yeah, a second-round pick is a high draft asset, but it is also something that teams can move on from pretty quickly. That's why this entire draft class started standing on business about guaranteed money, something that they really had not had historically for when it comes to the amount of guarantees based on each draft slot. Tyler Shuck gets the fully guaranteed money, for example. So, like, and any pick between that is probably getting it at that point.
Yeah.
So it's something of an unprecedented ground, but now if it's guaranteed money, is that harder on a cap release? So can you move on from those? But this class is not last year's class. Last year's class and any second rounders before that, you can move on from a lot easier.
Yeah. A lot easier.
Just unfortunately, the fact on that, but I don't, that like I hope in my heart of hearts that Keon Coleman does not have that happen to him. I don't expect that to happen to him, but he does have to earn it. Aaron is right. Like he could get lost in the shuffle pretty quickly, and especially if I don't know how much Coleman would play on special teams to make sure that he has a game day jersey. If he's capable of it, I don't know what he can do there.
I think honestly, the hope is we never have to find out.
Yes, that is the other thing. Because if we have to get to that conversation, then we're already in a problem.
You're already in an Elam problem.
Yes, and that's not good. You don't want that. And yeah, it's not a first round flop, but it would be a second round flop, and your first pick of the draft class being a flop. Again, Coleman and Bishop, fair or unfair, as second round picks, the team may already move on from you if you don't have a good camp.
803-0550, the number to call. We go back to the phones. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, good morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Doing well. Thanks for calling in.
I wanted to bring up something that, watching the Tush push a lot last year, I wanted to bring up. And this is an old play. November 28th, 2024, Buffalo was at Seattle. Derek, you're right. You might remember this. Drew Bledsoe took a handoff, faked going into the pile, but instead McGahee
got a toss
back and ran it for the touchdown. Now, my question is, would this trick play be something we could try instead of a tush push? Would it work in the modern-day NFL? Or would this be something you would save for a playoff chance? I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks for the call, Kevin. I appreciate that. I don't love the idea of my quarterback shoving himself into a pile of humanity, turning around, flipping the football, and not caring what happens to his ankles. I feel like there's more danger to a quarterback doing that nowadays.
Especially with the tush push situation, everyone goes down.
Everyone goes downward.
That's the key of it.
And I like the concept, but health-wise, I'm more terrified.
Yeah, if it worked, it's pretty as hell. And it works. And if it doesn't, like you mentioned, the ankles could be a real problem. And also, if it doesn't work and it's just a bad trick play on a fourth down, why go to it if the tush push is like 99% efficiency rate? Like,
also,
that's my thing, is if it was any less than that, we can have these conversations. I just don't understand why we would want to deviate from it when you're just trying to get a yard. We're not trying to hit big plays on fourth and one, really.
Yes. it might be like a nice little every once in a while type of play. Like you might see it once in a year. But if I'm doing a Josh Allen pitch out, why not just run a speed option?
Could do that too. Yeah.
Like, yeah, Allen might get tuned up.
And we'll be having the same conversation.
That's a problem
of
that
why
everyone would be
this?
Like, Derek, did you just bring up speed option for a quarterback that can get his bell rung because he's free territory now? Yeah, I did. But, yeah, if I'm dealing with a pitch out, I might as well just do an option play because quarterbacks in college have run that now all the time. It's kind of like a bread and butter of college offenses and high school offenses.
Mm-hmm.
If you have athleticism within your profile, you're running speed option.
You're doing something with that, yeah.
And NFL players, you might forget how to operate speed option because you don't see it.
Yeah, because even Georgia Tech doesn't run the option anymore.
So if the tush push does get banned, do look for more speed option on your
please
fourth
don't.
And ones.
Please
yes,
don't. Oh,
I want that chaos, baby. I would also be terrified of Allen running it, but I would love to see other quarterbacks running it, though.
The best thing that happened.
Tell me, like, Jaden Daniels, a speed option on fourth and two is not going
to
hit you like that first coffee in the morning. Like,
See, it's one of those plays, though. I'm cool if other teams do it and mine don't.
Exactly.
Like, look, I'm a sicko. I like watching Army football play every now and then.
Yes.
But if Texas ever went to that, I'd lose my mind. I just watched the Wishbone documentary, Derek. Can I tell you, I haven't been... They won two national titles with the Wishbone, and I went, thank God that's gone.
Yeah.
I would lose my mind. And it's the Wishbone. It's not even the option, which is just like chaos incarnate.
Chaos incarnate, which allows your quarterback to get tuned up. He's a free runner.
Yep.
Who ultimately has to make a choice of, I'm keeping the ball and taking a hit, or I'm pitching the ball and still probably taking a hit.
Yeah, because the best option quarterbacks, they got the ball out as they're getting hit.
Yes.
Oh, man. By the way, update
but
from
Allen
camp.
Would love pitching it. I mean, he would have so much fun.
He wouldn't pitch it. That's the problem.
Well, he might pitch it.
Maybe.
He might pitch it.
Until a 5'11 corner comes up to him and he goes, I can hit him. He might pitch it.
Well, hang on. We're talking somewhere in that MVP is the same guy that pitched the football with no reason to with less than a minute left in a playoff game against the Houston Texans. Somewhere that maniac is hiding.
I mean, we've been better off when he hasn't been.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I'm just pitching the idea for chaos.
Yeah. Update from camp. Defensively, sounding like Benford has been animal today, locking down everyone. And then Dan Fates tweets out Max Harrison, this is about 5 minutes ago, with his first pass breakup of camp. Great recovery, showed off the speed in the red zone to knock away a pass from KJ Hamler. Harrison, Babbage, and the entire defense was fired up. So very good for the first round rookie out of Kentucky. 803-0550, the number to call if you want to jump on the show. Give your thoughts on what camp storyline you are most looking forward to watching as we get underway from St. John Fisher today. Day number one of Bills training camp, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two continues to roll along here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. And a reminder, because of course it is day one of Bills training camp, that training camp from St. John Fisher University is brought to you by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors & Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Practice number one appears to be in the books. I think I saw Joey Bosa already meeting with the media. Good to see him not one of the players that was not practicing today. Especially there was some worry. There was some nervousness of, man, already during mandatory minicamp of like just, because that's really been the big negative for him. He is not a guy that's 35 years old. I think Joey even said today, he's 30. He's been 30 for like 12 days. But he has missed like 50% of his games the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
When he's there, he is still good, if not very good.
Right.
It is just more the question of, well, is he going to be here?
Is he going to be available? Is he going to be here? Is he going to be capable of showing the game-breaking ability that he still may possess?
Mm-hmm.
That's always been the big question with him, and it will continue to be. Hey, I've got good news, though.
Ooh.
NFL Films updated the sign at training camp.
I'm so proud of them. It only took into practice number one, which, I, you know, honestly, could have been worse. Could have been worse.
Oh, the label maker, the font is vastly different if you look at it. Like, if you know where it is, it, you do have to look for it, but you could tell. Like, oh, yeah, nope, that's definitely not what was originally on that sign.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. The storyline you're most looking forward to watching, covering, however you want to put it, once training camp gets going, as it got underway today. We do, though, have some other camp stories around the NFL. The Bills, surprisingly, even though they have Hard Knocks, maybe one of the least interesting teams in terms of storylines, especially with James Cook being at camp today, fully practicing. You look at places like we mentioned to start the show today, but places like Cincinnati and Washington having pretty large holdouts, one of which with Cincinnati, it's multiple holdouts. Shamar Stewart is not there either. He is not under contract. He is a first-round pick and is the only first-round pick not under contract. Trey Hendrickson, 17.5 sacks the last 2 years. He's 31, but that appears to be kind of in no man's land at this point. He's in Florida, where at least with Washington and wide receiver Terry McLaurin, there were reports that he was in Virginia, just obviously not at Commander's camp. And then you have stuff, Derek, that you mentioned, Tua Tagovailoa over in Miami. He was speaking with the media, and look, it's not the worst thing in the world, but it kind of reminds you too, Tyreek Hill said some things to end the season that were not good.
The I'm out comment, that's really what it was.
Yeah.
And Tua says that Tyreek Hill is rebuilding his relationship with him and the team, and it's that it's a work in progress. Quote, when you say something like that, you don't just come back with, my bad. You got to work that relationship up, and he's working on himself, unquote. Tua also notes that Hill has been a little bit more vulnerable with teammates about his personal life, everything like that, trying to be more open, and commends Hill for taking that first step to help work on himself. But that also screams discord in Miami.
I mean, I think they're heading,
heading
into a bad season.
Into an ugly, ugly season, I think, this year. Not just because of the fact that they still can't solve an offensive line to save their lives, but there's enough there. I, however, really like those quotes from Tua as a leader.
Oh, yeah.
The guy is, for all intents and purposes, a serviceable quarterback in this league, at minimum. When he is healthy, he has taken over games in the past. Granted, they've been against bad teams, but he's taken over. Or even against Baltimore. I remember that game.
Is it 6 touchdowns he had that day?
Yes.
Yeah.
Furiously keeping up with Lamar Jackson, coming back and winning that game. However, it's the injury concerns. But as a leader, I like it. As a player that needs to have himself an important season because they may move on from him this year after this, it's important for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously a division rival does not wish well upon others, but at the same time, I do want Tua to succeed. He seems like he's a good guy. He's got his head on his shoulders. He's really, you know, for all things considered, like, he's a good guy. You want players like that to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, those quotes, though, do have a little bit of spice to them of what's going on with the Dolphins. How bad could it get this year? Especially because of the fact that, like, Tyreek Hill was surrounded through the offseason with reports of a trade because, you know, the I'm out comments.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out. Like, okay.
Yep.
And as a teammate, you look and go, oh, so that's how it is, huh? All right. Cool.
And this is the thing. Yeah, I think those quotes do point to the locker room is upset. At least Tua was. Maybe the entire locker room, but at least Tua, his quarterback, was upset. Good news, though, in terms of quarterback-wide receiver connection. I've seen this from Matthew Beauvais. Josh Palmer and Josh Allen, Joshua Palmer and Josh Allen were together after practice.
There you go.
They were running routes after practice. You always love to see that. I think it's fair to say maybe a lot of us weren't talking enough about Palmer. Bean was really pushing his name a lot, and now you're seeing it here. But you look at stuff like Miami, man, I don't have good feelings about it. And, like, that's great that Hill's working on himself now, but what if that team starts 3-5 and they're not looking good? All of a sudden, all those comments of, I'm out, probably start rearing their head where he's like, I am actually done. Let's not act like Hill is this model citizen, model teammate, never had any issues around him. You know, that's not going to change all of a sudden. And so I do wonder, like, it's all fine and dandy now because everyone's 0-0, But what if they start off bad? And I think most of us around here do believe they're not going to be a very good team.
Right.
If that happens, do those comments come rearing back? Or is it just stuff like on the field where he looks upset, he looks dejected, what have you? I think they absolutely could come back. But I do like Tua being a leader. He's never had that problem.
No, he's never had that problem.
That was always a big bonus of his. It's like he may not be the biggest guy, he may not be the fastest guy, may not have the strongest arm, but damn it, he is going to run your team well. He is going to be the guy that people will look to. They'll gravitate towards the whole thing. He was that at Alabama, even with guys like Jalen Hurts on the team.
Mm-hmm.
And Hurts is that in Philadelphia. And so, you know, we'll see. But I think the team is hardcore heading towards a bad situation. And the comments may not be totally spicy. I think they might be heading more towards real spicy once the season gets going. We'll see, though. What is already spicy, though, Cincinnati?
Yeah, right. They've been spicy. It's stayed spicy. It's forever spicy. Apparently, as long as Mike Brown remains the owner of the Bengals, sure, keep going, man. Keep going. If this is how you want to run your expenditures for your... I don't understand. If you're the owner of a football team, you would want to do what you want to make sure they succeed, right? You do what you can to watch them succeed because you're not owning an NFL team as a business to make money. You did it because you already have a lot of money and this seems fun,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
You would think. You would think. However, why is it still a problem with the Cincinnati Bengals? Why? Why is it always a problem?
It kind of feels like this is always sort of how they've run it.
And that's the thing. They are pretty much, it seems like, a business that got into it for business to make money. And because they are part of the original ownership, mm-hmm. the AFL. So they do date back all the way to it. It just, come on, man. You got to stop. Stop being weird with negotiation tactics. Stop having to try to strong arm and posture with every single person that you can. We didn't know if Higgins would make it to free agency. Chase was, okay, this is a matter of when, but like, can you hurry it up or you're going to cost yourself some more money?
I mean, the reports for Burrow is that they maybe had to take out a loan to pay him, which may actually point to the biggest issue for them is, do they even really have the capital on
which
hand
then speaks to
really run a professional football team?
Which then also speaks to, you are running it as a business to make money.
Yeah, which is not really good at
That's
all.
It's not good. It does not favor you at that point, especially when you can make how much money selling a team?
Oh, I mean, you talk about life-changing money. The Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase would sell astronomically.
Considering the...
Especially once they get the renovations done on Paycor, their current stadium. Yeah.
But also considering that the Commanders were sold for oodles, noodles, and toaster strudels of dollars
mm-hmm.
before they got Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
So...
And they have a horrendous stadium.
Yes.
Like, the owner coming in kind of knew... Oh, I have to fix everything.
I have to fix everything, and I had to pay this much to help fix everything.
Denver, same thing.
Yeah.
The Walmart family, I'm blanking on the names, but they bought them for $8 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
It's disgusting.
Yeah, and so you're right. Like, you're running like a business. That is not...
It's not leading
to sustained success, especially in the modern NFL. It's not the way to do it at all.
And I think that... of course I'm going to side with the players at that point, considering the money that you have to... have to run a team,
mm-hmm.
I'm not really going to feel bad.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, though, with the Bengals, with Hendrickson, and with Shamar Stewart, when does it end? And you said something interesting off air about Stewart in particular, of this might be aggressively, potentially bad advice. I don't want to put words in your mouth mm-hmm. on this, yep. but... It is fascinating that he is not with the team and there's a non-zero chance he tries to go back to school and re-enter the draft. At that point, man, you are losing millions on millions of dollars.
Yeah, everything I've seen with the Shamar Stewart stuff, now that you know Mike Brown has spoken and we're kind of figuring out like, okay, what's actually going on here, is that he basically won't sign his deal because he will lose out on guaranteed monies throughout his contract if he were, say, arrested. There's other things in there. But that's sort of the one that everyone's leaning into.
The part he's pumping up, though, that he's underselling is it's any conduct detrimental to the team, and that has a much wider range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, conduct detrimental to the team could be like, you're late one time for a meeting.
Yeah.
So, I can understand a little bit on why Stewart's like, no, why would I be risking everything if I have one bad trip to work? We've all had those.
I think he is getting bad advice from his agent, because I think that's not where they're going to cut your money. But they are going to cut it if you break the law, stuff like that. And for me,
I don't know. The Bengals reportedly needed a loan for Burrow, or they have these squabbles with Hendrickson.
But that's the stuff where the players' union comes in. Like, it's like, I got into a car accident, it wasn't my fault. Okay, well, your guarantee money's gone. The player union gets involved, and then lawsuits happen. The league won't allow it to happen. It is,
but
if you
Bengals
get arrested.
But the Bengals do comically run themselves at a point where I can't put that past them. And
I can, because I mean, that is where, again, you get the player union involved and the NFL gets involved.
Oh,
and
the
you
player
can't have that.
The player union that had two people resign that were high ups on there?
Well,
that player union?
Yes. But
am I trusting that to go to battle with right now?
But my thing is, where you're pointing, that's comic book villain level stuff. That is, we don't look at you as a person. You're barely alive to us. If that's how it's going to be done. And I don't.
NFL players probably know this at this point.
I could be
the owners
naive.
Probably do not look at them as that. They look at them as assets.
I know, but again, that's comic book villain level of like, oh, you were late to work? No guaranteed money. That's absurd. No one will sign with you ever again. Ever again. And so like that's, for me, I think it really is, dude, just don't break the law. And at least him and his agent are coming off with the vibes of, dude, I'm absolutely breaking the law in 4 years. I'm not signing this. I'm not saying that's right, but that's how they're coming off of this, is like avoiding jail is actually really hard for me. And yeah. He's already a raw prospect that needed reps, needed playing time. And if he's not getting that, he is off to a bad start. And for the Bengals, who needed to really retool their defense, you drafted a 25-year-old linebacker, a player who won't sign a contract because he may get arrested. And you have Trey Hendrickson, who after two straight years of 70.5 sacks, you've basically told him to go away. It is...
hilarious.
Wild
bad.
To me how they've handled this, and I don't really see a way up for them.
Shamar Stewart's like driving to Texas A&M for some workouts, and Judas Priest is playing on the radio, breaking the law.
It's so bad. It's so bad. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll wrap up day number one of camp after this quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Wrapping up hour number two here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. 3 hours today of One Bills Live. We are expecting to hear from Bills General Manager Brandon Bean right at the top of the hour, so do stay tuned for that. I've already seen, I believe, Joey Bosa speaking with the media, Josh Allen speaking with the media, so we'll be hearing all of that throughout the day as well over on the Odyssey app or on our website, WGR550.com. Real quick, though, as we wrap up today, not any real surprises on the injury report, Derek. I mean, Sal, you know, he mentioned it to us too. The three guys that we definitely knew were going to be Dawson Knox, Cedric Van Pran, Granger, and Spencer Brown. The bit of surprise today was Laviska Shenault, but ultimately we'll see how long that goes. Two of those guys are on PUP, that being Brown and Van Pran, Granger. Knox is on the physically unable or the non-football injury list, which was interesting because then he comes up with a hamstring, while Shenault was not on any of those lists. His really just maybe he picked up something yesterday or what have you. Because I imagine for Brown and Pran Granger, it's because they couldn't pass their physicals.
Correct.
That's why they're being put on PUP. We'll see, though, how far those go. Knox, though, I'd said it before, and I'll say it again. I think it's a lot more to do with just, hey, man, you're a vet. You've been here. You've done it. It's a soft tissue injury. We don't need this getting any worse. We don't need this lingering. Let's deal with it now. And you know, we'll get you back in when you're 110%. Not when you think you're 110%, when we think you're 110%. Where for Brown, again, you know, McDermott, who's speaking today, he kind of jokingly was like, you know, the back is the back and, you know, it's a flare-up. So maybe Brown isn't in a bad position, but also trying to do a physical with back issues may not be the best. And then Van Pran Granger, calf injury, we'll see how that ends up going. Same with Chenault as well. But ultimately, not the worst thing in the world in terms of an injury report to start off camp.
I can't wait, though, also for the good feels to hit everybody when Tre'Davious White talks.
I'm very excited for that.
Genuinely excited for that because of the fact that, like, he's already hanging around with the crowd after practice, everything like that. Deion Dawkins' family, like, Uncle Trey is back. And it's like, oh, come on, man. That's too heartwarming. Don't do that or do that. It's heartwarming. It's great. Yeah. I do love that. And I can't wait to hear him speak. I can't wait for him to be on Hard Knocks. It's so good. Everybody, we're back.
Also,
we are so back.
By the way, Josh Allen, real quick, on Hard Knocks, did mention he was mic'd up today and has said it's been awesome so far, but he is trying not to cuss as much, which is hysterical because I think many of us are sitting there
guys,
like,
I'm mic'd up.
What do you mean Allen swears? And then, like, if you watch any Bob does sports things, you're like, oh, yeah, he does. He clearly does.
Guys, I'm mic'd up.
That'll do it for us today. Day number one in the books, but coming up next, 3 hours of One Bills Live. Bills general manager Brandon Bean expected to speak right at the top of the hour. This is WGR.